On the contrary, we uphold the law. Well, this morning's passage is entitled, God, both just and the justifier of those who have faith in Jesus. So, Pastor Richard, I want to have you help us to understand these precious passages. Thank you.
Good morning. So, what happened at the cross? We had that verse which we introduced the service with. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God. That's 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. It's a very important verse. That's why I have remembered it. Not memorized, but I remember that verse because it is explaining how we receive the righteousness of Christ and he receives our sin in exchange so that we might be saved. In the beginning of Romans, in chapter 1, we saw that the one who by faith is righteous shall live. So you receive the righteousness by faith and you shall live as opposed to die, as opposed to suffer in hell for all eternity, which is the penalty of our sin, which Jesus Christ himself has taken that penalty and given us his righteousness in exchange. But Romans 3, bookended in the passages about sin that we talked about for many weeks, Romans 3 gives us another look at this gospel, this good news, that we might be saved. And how does that happen? What is it Jesus did? What is it God the Father did? How does the Spirit change our heart? Well, a lot of these topics are shown right here in Romans chapter 3. Perhaps one of the most important passages in all of the scripture is Romans 3, 21 through 31. So we're going to look at that today, and I'll try to explain it. There are some big words in here like justification, manifestation, distinction. There's a lot of big words here, but I will try to explain them so that we understand what he's saying. Some of us already know these words, and that's great, but it doesn't hurt to go over it again and to look at how these terms and ideas come together to be the gospel. I also wanted to tell you that after today's sermon, we will have finished Romans 1, 2, and 3, and we will move into Romans chapter 4, but first we're going to take 2 weeks to take a break and look at other passages, just to take a break so we can be fresh when we go into Romans chapter 4. Let me pray. Dear Lord, Father, thank you so much for giving us your Son, Father, for sending your Son to die for us, Father, that you sent your Son to live that perfect life that we cannot live, so that we might have his righteousness in exchange for our sin. Father, we exchange your glory, Father, for our own sin, Father, and for that we deserve eternal hell, because you are infinitely holy. And we deserve an infinite punishment. But Father, you in your mercy offer us salvation. You offer us a right relationship with you. You offer us your righteousness, Father, and how blessed we are to be able to receive it. If there's anyone here today who does not know Christ, Father, who does not know what it means to be a Christian, what Christ did, Father, I pray that it will become clear to them, Father, and they might be saved, Father. Or if there's anyone listening in on the sermons as they get posted online, Father, I pray that they too might receive the message of the gospel and be saved. For the rest of us, Father, the ones who already know your gospel, already know Jesus, I pray that we would get a fresh look at your gospel, at your good news that you offer to us, Father. We might repent anew of our sins and trust anew in Christ for our righteousness and for our atonement. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Romans 3, 21 and 22 begins, "But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe." See, so we cannot earn the righteousness of God through obedience to the law because we cannot obey the law perfectly. We've talked about this a lot in previous weeks. If we were to try and earn the righteousness that we need in order to go to heaven, we could not, because we would have to obey it perfectly in order for us to be saved. Since we cannot, since we sin every day, we fail to earn it, and we must have it through some other means if we are to have it. Although the righteousness we need cannot be earned through the law, the Old Testament law does point to the righteousness we need, which is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. The righteousness of Jesus Christ becomes ours through faith in him. And everyone who believes is justified by God. Number one, when Scripture says that someone is justified by God, this means that they receive the righteousness of Christ as their own. This happens through trust in the work of Jesus Christ on their behalf. Number one, when Scripture says that someone is justified by God, this means that they receive the righteousness of Christ as their own. This happens through trust in the work of Jesus. So justification is this idea that even though we are not righteous before God and we have sinned and broken his law, we can be made righteous through the work of Jesus Christ. And we access that righteousness of Jesus Christ by believing in him, by trusting in him, by having faith in him. All those terms mean the same thing. I like to use the word trust because that's a word that we understand better in our society today. So we're trusting in what he has done to be sufficient for our salvation. Romans 3, 22 and 23. "For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." There is no distinction among humanity. Every single one of us is guilty of sin against God. We have all failed to glorify God as we should. Number two, all of us have sinned by failing to give God the glory he deserves. Number two, all of us have sinned by failing to give God the glory he deserves. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "So, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." That is a command for everyone. We're supposed to do everything that we do to God's glory. The problem is, without the work of the Holy Spirit, we don't honor God, we don't love God, so we constantly fail to do all to the glory of God. So that means that all of our works before we become a Christian are tainted with sin. So we can't do anything but sin before we become a believer. Romans 1, 22 and 23 says, "Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things." So we exchange the glory of God for things that we believe will give us more pleasure, more success, more happiness. The fact is, they don't give us more happiness than the glory of God. But we don't understand that until we look to Christ, until we see our own sin and repent of it and cherish and treasure Christ for who he is. Romans 3:24 says, "And are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." Number 3 says, "Our only hope for forgiveness from God is through his grace, which comes as a gift in Christ Jesus." Number 3, our only hope for forgiveness from God is through his grace, which comes as a gift in Christ Jesus. So we are justified by his grace. So when we're justified, we're made righteous in God's eyes. He makes us righteous before him through the righteousness of Christ. We have his grace. This is through his grace because we don't deserve it. And it's his gift. He gives it to us for free. We don't have to do anything in order to earn God's justification, the salvation that we get from God. And we have redemption, meaning that we're redeemed from the penalty and the power of sin. So when we're redeemed from the penalty of sin, Christ takes that penalty on the cross. God pours out his wrath, the eternal hell, onto Jesus. And we don't have to face that penalty anymore. And the power of sin, we begin to slowly be sanctified by the Holy Spirit. That means we're not only are we made righteous positionally before God, we are actually becoming more and more righteous, more and more like Christ over time through the redemption, that power of sin that is weakening in our heart and our love for God and for Christ, which is growing. Romans 3:25 says, "Whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins." God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross so that his wrath might be propitiated. The word propitiated means that Jesus satisfied the wrath of God in our place. Jesus actually took the full punishment of hell for all those who will believe in him. He's able to do that because he is both man and God. As a man, he could take the punishment we deserve because the punishment is for man. And as God, he could take the full power of the punishment, the eternal hell, in a short period of time while on the cross. Since God, the Father's wrath has been propitiated, there is no longer any condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Number 4. On the cross, Jesus took the wrath that we deserved in our place as long as we are receiving this blessing through faith in him. Number 4. On the cross, Jesus took the wrath that we deserved in our place as long as we are receiving this blessing through faith in him. So as long as we are trusting in him and not in our own works, in our own strength, he has taken the full wrath for us. So all we have to do is have faith or trust in him, and he's taken the entire punishment that we deserve, and we are free to spend eternity with Jesus Christ, the Father, and his Spirit, free to enjoy them forever because they become our treasure. We love and cherish God, the Father, God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God the Father showed his own righteousness by pouring out his wrath on his son Jesus and punishing the sins he had passed over previously in the Old Testament times. So that's what it means when it says he had passed over former sins. In the Old Testament, there were people who had faith. They didn't know who exactly Jesus was, but they knew that there was a coming Messiah who would save them from their sin. And God passed over their sins, but atonement had not yet been made. So God was passing over sins which he wasn't punishing. So when God punished Jesus on the cross, he was showing his own righteousness, because the sins that he had passed over, he now punished. This passing over is called, in verse 25, God's divine forbearance. That is divine forbearance, because he showed patience with the sins of his Old Testament people until they could be punished in Christ. He showed patience with those sins until Christ would take the punishment for them. And so now, going backward, all the sins of all the saints in the Old Testament have been forgiven through Christ. And going forward, all the sins of the people who will believe or and have believed in the past 2,000 years, they're forgiven in Christ. Romans 3:26. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. So this is a very important verse right here, because it explains the character of God when it comes to salvation. We see that God satisfies his own justice by punishing sin through the cross of his Son Jesus, and he qualifies his people to stand before him in Christ's righteousness through faith. So he's just, meaning he punishes sin that needs to be punished because we have broken his law, but he's also the justifier. He makes us righteous through the work of Christ, through the atonement that he did. So he's just, and he's the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. He does this justification by covering us with the righteousness of Christ. That is what it means to be justified. We are covered with the righteousness of Christ through faith. We receive that righteousness as our own. Number 5, it is only through the work of Christ that God might reveal himself to be both just by punishing sin and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus Christ. Number 5, it is only through the work of Christ that God might reveal himself to be both just by punishing sin and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus Christ. His justice and his mercy are both revealed in the cross. Romans 3:27 and 28. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Boasting is excluded when salvation is by faith, because it is nothing that we do that earns our salvation. Instead, it is what Jesus Christ has done, what he has accomplished in our place, that saves us through faith. Perfect obedience to the law is no longer required for those who have faith in Jesus and his perfect obedience to the law, because we can't have that perfect obedience. Not to say that when we were glorified in heaven, which we will be perfectly righteous at that point. But in this life, we cannot have that perfect righteousness that we need, and we must receive it from Jesus by believing in him, trusting in him, having faith in him. Number 6, because righteousness comes only through faith and not through works, No one can boast that they earned it themselves. Number six, because righteousness comes only through faith and not through works, no one can boast that they earned it themselves. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9 say, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." You see, it says the same thing. If our salvation were the result of our own good works, then we'd be able to boast about it. We'd say, "I earned it. I did it. I made it to salvation." But it's not. It says, "This is not your own doing. Salvation is the gift of God." And our very faith, the very faith that we have, is a gift from God. He's the one who comes and changes our heart and brings us to himself, who grants us repentance from our sins. Romans 3, 29 through 30 says, "Or is God the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles also? Yes, of Gentiles also. Since God is one, who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith?" As Paul has been saying all along in this book, it is not whether a person is circumcised or not circumcised that counts for righteousness, but instead whether God has granted them faith. So God is not the God of the Jews only. He's also the God of the Gentiles. And we all fall into either group. We're either a Jew or a Gentile. And so the Jews are justified by faith, and the Gentiles are justified by faith. That is the only way to be justified before God, to have the righteousness that we need before him. This means that none of the works that we do save us. Nothing we do can contribute to our salvation. Coming to church, getting baptized, reading the Bible, evangelism, and more are all the fruit of our salvation and not the cause. And all the works that we do as Christians are prepared for us beforehand by God. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship," meaning that God works out our salvation for us. We are created in Christ Jesus for good works. So when we become a Christian, there's good works that we have to do, which God prepared beforehand. So he prepared all these good works beforehand that we should walk in them. So all we have to do is walk in the good works that God has prepared beforehand for us. So they don't contribute to our salvation, and they don't give us any reason for boasting, because they are all of God, all of the work of the Holy Spirit. Number seven, justification is through faith alone for both Jew and Gentile. Number seven, justification is through faith alone for both Jew and Gentile. Romans 3:31 says, "Do we then overthrow the law by this faith?" He says, by no means. You know, it's impossible. That can't happen. No way. On the contrary, we uphold the law. So Paul's going to talk more about the law in the coming chapters of Romans. But for now, he just affirms that the law is not overthrown by salvation through faith. Rather, by salvation through faith, we uphold the righteousness of the law. Application. Number one, be kind to one another and forgive one another. Ephesians 4:32 says, "Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you." So God has forgiven us. He sent his son to die on the cross, to take the punishment we deserve. He loves us and forgives all of our sins. So we're to forgive one another. How could we not forgive the smaller sins that people do against us when God is forgiving the greater sins that we've sinned against him? So we have to be kind, tenderhearted, and forgiving to one another. And if we're truly believing the gospel, if we're truly following Christ, then we will live lives like this, kind, tender-hearted, and forgiving. Number two, application number two. Remember the wrath of God that we all deserve and throw yourself on the on God's mercy in Christ. Number two, remember the wrath of God that we all deserve and throw yourself on God's mercy in Christ. So if we really have an idea of that wrath, that eternal hell, imagine it after we die to spend forever and ever and ever being punished in hell. And it never ends. And it's horrible, painful, without hope. There's no escape from it forever. So we need to remember that this wrath of God was what was on us, and that God changed our heart, brought us to Jesus. How amazing and merciful is that? So we need to remember what the alternative was, that if we had not been brought to Christ by God the Father, by the Son, by the Holy Spirit, then we would have to suffer that for all eternity. And just we have to throw ourselves on the mercy of God. Every day, every time we sin, we realize our own sin, we have to remember that Jesus took that hell for us in order to forgive that sin. It's just amazing that Jesus suffered that in our place. So we have to throw ourselves on God's mercy and beg him, tell him, please stop. Help me stop with these sins. Help me to repent. Because we don't want to see Jesus suffer any more than he has to. And likewise, as we look at people around us who don't know Jesus, we want to share with them the mercy of God, if only they would believe. Number three, application number three. Stop trying to justify yourself by falsely boasting in your own goodness. Number three, stop trying to justify yourself by falsely boasting in your own goodness. Christians should be the humblest people on the planet. We should realize that there's nothing we can do to earn our salvation, to even have a small, worthwhile thing that we do that earns our salvation, that makes us better Christians, that makes us better people. In fact, we never did anything to earn our salvation. So we can't be talking about what we have done, or especially how better we are than someone else. Like if we say, you know, you sinned against me and I'm better than you and I'm not going to forgive you, you're justifying yourself. You're saying that you've done something better than someone else. Stop trying to justify yourself. Don't boast in your own goodness. Boast only in the mercy of God. Boast only in Christ, what he has done. So be humble. And pray for God to make you humble. I once heard a sermon where the pastor said, whatever you do, don't pray for God to make you humble, because that's going to hurt. And you shouldn't do it, but you know what? We should. We should pray for God to make us humble, because it makes us the most effective Christians on the planet if we're truly humble. This is how we serve God. This is how we point to him. This is how we exalt Jesus Christ, through humility. So definitely, I disagree with that. Pray to be humble, and he will make you humble, because that's a prayer that is God's will. He wants us to be humble. Let us pray. Dear Lord, Father, how amazing it is what you've done for us, Father, that you sent your son to die, Father. And and it says, we talks about this all throughout the book of Romans, Father, and we'll get to many passages that tell us about the mercy of Jesus Christ and how you have given him up for us, how there is no condemnation for those who are in Jesus, Father, and how if you've given us your own son, how could you then not give us all things that we need, Father? I pray that we would love and cherish Jesus for what he has done this week and in the coming weeks, Father. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.